This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson again today. I trust the program blesses you and encourages you and perhaps even challenges you. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address. It's given there, and this program can be re-listened to there. It can also be downloaded to your computer and passed on to others if you would like to do that. You can also reach me the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. And we would love to hear any comments that you might have, as well as we would love to hear your prayer requests, and we would pray for you and specifically with regard to that prayer request. In other words, we take your comments and your prayer requests seriously. Now, today I want to look at the term blood. We've been looking at words particularly in the New Testament that have to do with our relationship with the Lord or with the gospel. And we've looked at words like beginnings and warnings and worry and hope and faith and lost. And the word saved in particular, grace, we've looked at that word. We've looked at the Lord's mercy. We've looked at the word new. We've looked at prophecy, particularly when it comes to fulfilled prophecy with regard to the resurrection. And last time we looked at the word repent, which has to do with the change of mind that is necessary in order for us to come to faith in Christ. And then we also, I guess it wasn't last time, that was 2 weeks ago, last time we looked at the word joy. And fortunately, the word joy is something that we who are Christians can enjoy. We enjoy the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We read in the Old Testament, and we didn't cover that last time, but joy is one of the results of being saved. Now, today I want to look at the word blood. Blood in the New Testament and in the Old Testament is the source of life in the body. Without blood, we can't live. And when blood is shed or when blood is removed from the body, obviously the body dies. And so the blood has been sacred in the Old Testament, and it was sacred probably for two reasons. Generally, most diseases will show up some way in the blood, and I believe by not eating blood, there was a dietary reason for that in the Old Testament, keeping the children of Israel healthy. But there was a ceremonial reason for not eating the blood in the Old Testament, and the ceremonial reason was because the blood represented death, and it takes the death of a substitute, of a sacrifice, to save us. And so the blood of animals was sacred. The blood of man was sacred as well. If we were told that if a man shed a man's blood, then by man his blood should be shed. In other words, a premeditated murder was the shedding of blood, and those who were caught after they had murdered in a premeditated way, they themselves were to have their blood shed, which meant that they were to die for the crime that they had committed. Now, one of the first places we see the blood and the value of the blood is in the Passover lamb. If we were to go back to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13, we would read, "Now the blood shall be for a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." So the children of Israel were about to be delivered from bondage, and that bondage in the New Testament would be the bondage of sin. In the Old Testament, it was bondage as being slaves in Egypt, but at the same time, it was a picture of the bondage of sin. And the Lord had tried 9 times to produce the required result in Pharaoh's life to let the children of Israel go. And so there had been 9 signs, calamities, that had occurred in Egypt, and now the tenth one was going to be this matter of a Passover lamb. And when the Lord saw the blood of this Passover lamb on the houses, the doorposts and lintels of their houses, then that house was spared from death, and the death was the death of the firstborn. The firstborn always represents what we are by nature, and in order to spare the firstborn, we have to be, in the New Testament, saved or born again. And so the blood, it has been shed for us at the cross of Calvary. For the children of Israel, it was shed when they slew the Passover lamb. But our blood has been shed at Calvary. That is, the death of Christ at Calvary is what provides for our salvation. And that blood is available. The blood of the Passover lamb could have been available, but it had to be applied, and that speaks of faith, and the blood did no good until it was applied to the doorposts and lintels of the home where believing people realized that God was going to carry out his word and strike the firstborn dead in every home where there was no blood on the doorposts or lintels of the house. And so he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And those people who believed that God was able and willing to do what he said he was going to do, and who had heard the message through Moses, if they applied the blood, then they were spared from the plague that destroyed the firstborn and the children of Egypt. Blood was sacred, and it was not to be eaten. Leviticus 7, verse 26 says, moreover, you shall not eat any blood in any of your dwellings, whether of bird or of beast. Whoever eats any blood, that person shall be cut off from the people. And I'm not sure if that means that they were to die or if that means that they weren't allowed to worship in the temple. But regardless of which attitude or which particular interpretation you use, it's interesting that blood was not to be eaten. And so in the New Testament, we find out that the blood is associated definitely with the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins for eternally required is forgiveness of sins for eternity required the substitutionary death of Christ, or the blood of Christ. And so in Hebrews 9, verse 22, it says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission, there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Now, obviously, when we begin to look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, some would say it's a bloody religion. And they're right about that, because sin is a serious offense against God. But God has provided a way whereby our offenses can be forgiven. But since sin brought death into the world, and death passed upon all men because all have sinned, according to Paul in Romans, we realize that it took the death of another to atone for our sins. And that's what Christ did when he died for us at the cross. And so when we look at the blood, we're looking at the death of Christ. I know some people have almost idolized the blood in the way they have taught this, and they say one drop of the blood of Christ is enough to save a sinner. Well, really, we can find this topic interesting and valuable, but really it's the death of Christ, which is represented by the shedding of his blood, that really saves us. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness, and Christ's blood was shed. And so I wouldn't go so far as to say one drop of blood is sufficient to save me for eternity, but faith in the death of Christ, which is symbolized by the shedding of his blood, is enough to save me for eternity. Now, we find out that the New Testament believers understood something, or the New Testament Jews understood something about the value of the blood, because when we come to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24, we read, when Pilate saw that he could prevail, could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Now what he's saying is, I'm going to be innocent with regard to the death of this person, and I really don't know how you can declare yourself innocent when you are allowing a misjustice to be carried out. And he knew that there was a misjustice being carried out here, because even his wife had warned him to have nothing to do with that just person. She had suffered many things in a dream because of him that night. And so he says, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. It's your problem, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to make it your problem. And then in the next verse, Matthew 27 and verse 25, all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And so we remember that they're saying, we'll accept any guilt that is associated with the shedding of this man's blood. They really didn't see him as a supernatural person. They didn't see him as the Son of God. They ridiculed the fact that he claimed to be the Son of God. And they really didn't think anything was going to happen to them. But they said, his blood be on us and on our children. And frankly, I believe that's one of the reasons down through the years the Jews have been so persecuted, because they have in fact said that they're willing to bear the guilt of crucifying their Messiah. And the sins of the fathers in this case have been visited unto the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, that is unbelievers. And he shows mercy unto thousands of them that love him and guard his truth, that is, keep his commandments. And that would be those who really worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, Jew and Gentile alike. But now, as we come into the New Testament, we find out that we commemorate the shedding of the Lord's blood in what we call the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 22 says, Paul says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And then in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So in that cup, we are recognizing the Lord's death. In the bread, we are recognizing the sufferings in his body. He was willing to suffer as a man. We see his humanity and recognize that that body was given as a sacrifice for us, but the body wouldn't have been sufficient to save us if it hadn't been that it died. The Lord died. He didn't cease to exist, but he died. And we remember that death through the taking of the fruit of the vine, actually, but in their case it was obviously wine, and the wine always speaks of joy. So this blood that spoke of death in the Old Testament now, because of the resurrection, speaks of joy to those of us who believe, because we now look forward to a day when we're going to be with our Lord and like him for all eternity, and our sins have been forgiven because of the shedding of his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And I hope you are trusting in the death of Christ today for the forgiveness of your sins for eternity. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless thy word and bless those who have listened today. We thank thee for thy love and for thy salvation, as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.